Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Nonprofit Coach with Ted Hart, the most listened to internet radio show in the nonprofit sector, dedicated to helping your charity succeed. It's no secret that combining online and offline techniques is the key to modern-day fundraising success, and practical advice is what you need. The Nonprofit Coach with Ted Hart is the perfect landing point to learn from experts around the world who provide advice you can use. Ted Hart is without a doubt one of the foremost nonprofit thought leaders. Also a successful author, his books range from successful online fundraising to the use of social media and how to make your nonprofit green. Guests on the Nonprofit Coach are leaders in their field who share tips and trade secrets for nonprofit management and fundraising success. Ted lectures around the world, but now he's here for you. From the latest in charity news, technology, fundraising, and social networking, Ted and his guests help you and your organization move to greater levels of efficiency and fundraising success. This is a live call-in show. Add your voice by calling 347-324-3080. After the show, you can find all our podcasts at tedhart.com. Click on Radio. Don't forget to dial 347-324-3080. Now, welcome the host of the Nonprofit Coach, Ted Hart.
And welcome to this rather special edition of the Nonprofit Coach. I want to apologize to everyone for needing to reschedule from yesterday, and I want to in advance thank all of our guests today for being so flexible and so agreeable to scheduling this very important show. Excuse me, here today on the Nonprofit Coach. We are celebrating today the AFP Wiley Fund Development Series, so this is a very important show today. Our guest, as you know, our page two expert is Kathy Kingston, and she has an excellent book. And this is a book, I'm just going to give you a heads up, it is far more than just its beautiful cover with Kathy's beautiful picture on the front. There is so much in this book, you're going to want to stick by and make sure that you have the full attention of Kathy Kingston here today. Here on the Nonprofit Coach, as the announcer said, you can call in and ask your questions when we get to page two. You can also join me over in the chat room. I see some folks over in the chat room. You can ask questions there, or you can email me at tedhart@tedhart.com. As always, here on the Nonprofit Coach, we start with page one news. Every month here on the Nonprofit Coach, we have the opportunity to have one of the experts from CFRE International here with us to give us the CFRE Minute. Welcome back here to the Nonprofit Coach, George Hamilton.
Hi, Ted. Thanks for having me. It's really fortuitous that I could be on today.
Well, we really appreciate your willingness to reschedule for this very important edition of the AFP Wiley radio show here on the Nonprofit Coach. We're always glad to have CFRE here because there's so much going on. You know how important the Nonprofit Coach feels CFRE certification is for those who can qualify. Bring us up to date. What's going on over at CFRE?
Well, the reason I said it was fortuitous, Ted, is that right now CFRE International is actually in the midst of announcing some exciting updates coming to the CFRE certification program in 2016, so I'm really excited to share those with your listeners. What's happening, basically, is that based on our recent international job analysis research and also in looking at the maturation of the global fundraising profession over the last years, CFRE will be updating the test content outline, the resource reading list, and also the application requirements for initial and recertification. And these updates will go into effect in January 2016.
So it's important for our listeners to know this is a lot of change for those who are looking to qualify. Can we start off with substantive changes at the application level?
Sure. At the application level, and first I want to stress that the CFRE exam itself tests for baseline knowledge of best practices in ethical fundraising that candidates should have mastered by the time they've achieved 5 years of employment. the exam will continue to test knowledge at this same level. So there's not going to be a change in terms of the level of knowledge required to pass the CFRE exam.
But
the changes really come in.
Fundraising has changed over the last few years, so it's only right that the exam and reading and other materials would update. So how about the application? I'm sorry.
There's changes to a few different sections of the application. First, in the professional practice section, that's the section that actually measures how long somebody's been in practice. For initial certification, the minimum number of points in that area is actually being reduced from 60 points or 5 years of experience down to 36 points, or the equivalent of 3 years of employment as a fundraising professional. What we found is that young professionals are coming into the sector today. They have a lot more formal education and development in nonprofit management, and that was simply not available when the credential was first established in 1981. An increased number of established professionals that are transitioning into fundraising later in their careers, bringing with them years of transferable experience in addition to education as, you know, in the form of workshops, conferences, symposia, and fundraising, things like that. Now, what this really represents is an accelerated track. We're going to be advising folks that, you know, unless they have a substantial background in development in terms of a bachelor's degree, a graduate level degree, or at least a graduate level certificate, or they are coming with a significant set of skills that are transferable, they really should wait until 5 years. But we, you know, we've seen such a proliferation of folks entering the field with undergraduate and graduate degrees already in hand that we feel that those educational experiences and the depth of those educational experiences coupled with 3 years of fundraising employment really accelerates their knowledge of best practices in ethical fundraising and will allow them to be successful on the exam at that accelerated pace.
Well, I agree with this change because I think that what is required to be successful as a fundraiser is now required at an earlier age in your development, and I think sort of maybe it's a bit more baptism by fire, but I think the experiences that people have earlier on in their career are deeper and richer now than they were back in 1981. So I think giving those people who have had accelerated experience that might have in the past been seen at the five-year level is now seen in a lot of professionals at the three-year level. Why not give them the opportunity to prove their proficiency by sitting for exam?
Right, exactly. And in no way do we believe that this will diminish the credential in any way.
No.
Because the exam will still test at the five-year level, and the required education and performance requirements within the application are not changing. You know, it's still going to be a very, very challenging test that will really measure mastery of best practice in ethical fundraising.
Yeah, I think this is terrific to give those who have had those experiences and can prove it by sitting for exam to sit earlier without requiring them to just sit around for two more years. We've got a tight show today, but I do want to give you an opportunity to just share with us very quickly what's happening with the exam and the reading list.
Sure. With the exam, we recently conducted our international job analysis survey, that was the results of which were just finalized in 2015. Those are going to result in some changes to the test content outline for the CFRE exam. The job analysis did not find major shifts in the field of fundraising. However, the percentage of questions that make up each of the six knowledge domains covered on the exam will shift slightly to reflect the job analysis results. For instance, the knowledge domain with the largest percentage shift will be the securing the gift domain, which will actually increase from 19% of the exam questions to 23%. Other domains, such as volunteer involvement, are actually going to remain at the same level. So given those minor adjustments, I think the message for candidates who've been preparing for the exam is that if they've been preparing with the current edition of the test content outline as a guide for their study, they should probably have no additional difficulty with the exam that will be based on the new test content outline. And that new test content outline is actually available on our website within the resources section.
That's terrific. Well, these are very major updates, and we really appreciate you sharing the information here on the Nonprofit Coach. No doubt between now and when all of this becomes active and live, we will get further updates from you. We look forward to having you back here on the Nonprofit Coach next month for the CFRE Minute. That's been George Hamilton from CFRE International. George, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks very much, Ted.
And next up here on the Nonprofit Coach, always a pleasure to welcome Catherine LaCour, Blackbaud's Senior Vice President, back here on the Nonprofit Coach. Catherine, we have a terrific opportunity to see each other and be together in Austin. Why don't you tell my listeners today, why are you, me, and hundreds of other people going to be gathering in Austin later on this month?
Yeah, well, 2 weeks, not even later this month. We're in countdown mode, and we're really excited and ready to help Good take over Austin. And I will say it's not just a few hundred of our friends. We're actually going to have record attendance with over 2,400 attendees this year.
Really excited.
Yes. Yeah, and, you know, this we've got a lot of new features and additions, and one of those is that we're co-locating our Foundation and Corporates Group annual conference with NBBCon. It's led by our MicroEdge business. So we're actually giving an opportunity to our attendees to connect, create connections across the philanthropic market in a way we've never been able to do before. So we're really excited. Really excited about all of our, you know, the Blackbaud community coming together in Austin and the whole philanthropic community.
And, of course, Catherine, the Nonprofit Coach radio show will once again, which has become the tradition at Blackbaud, to have the Nonprofit Coach live from the convention floor in Austin. Looking forward to having the Nonprofit Coach back at BBCon. Now, just for our listeners to mark their calendar and for you to tell everyone, what time is the Nonprofit Coach show going to be live from Austin? Of course, that's Central Time, so help us with the translation to Eastern Time as well.
Sure. Yes, sure. So really excited to have you back, Jeff, and, you know, have your live from BBCon 2015, or Ted, sorry, live from BBCon 2015 special. And it's going to be Monday, October 26th at 1:45 local Central Time. So that's 2:45 Eastern Time. And you've got a fun lineup. We've got you'll be talking to Blackbaud CEO Mike Giannone, and he'll be telling you all the exciting news that's going on at the conference.
And that's
we
the
have
first
one
time
of our,
Mike
yes.
will have been on the show, right? So this is, a real opportunity for us to have all of our listeners get to know Mike and understand from the very top the vision for Blackbaud going forward.
That's right, exactly. We're also going to – you're going to have an opportunity to speak to our two leaders in our research, delivery, operations, and product development areas, Kevin McDeeris and Mary Beth Westmoreland, who are going to talk about the vision to empower the modern organization and talk about our latest cloud and technology innovation. So you'll have Mike who you can talk to about the vision overall, and then you'll be able to get down and dirty about some of the technology innovations that we're talking about at BBCon with Kevin and Mary Beth.
And you know how much here on the Nonprofit Coach we love getting into all that techno geek, and what better place than to do it right on the floor of BBCon. Thank you so much for coming back here on the show, Catherine. I can't believe it's actually less than 2 weeks now that we're going to be down there at the Austin Convention Center. So all of my listeners, please make sure that I think it's bbconference.com. Is that correct? Is the website?
That is correct. So still time to register there, and they can follow us at BBCon on Twitter as well.
Largest BBCon ever. Don't miss the opportunity to be there. All of your friends are going to be talking about it. You don't want to say you missed it. So register today and make sure that you join Catherine and I down in Austin, Texas at the Convention Center for BBCon 2015. Catherine, thank you. I look forward to seeing you in Austin.
Thanks, Ted. See you in Austin.
See you there. So that wraps up our page one news. Again, thank you for all of my guests who rescheduled for the show today. We are in for a real treat. We're going to come right back to the page two expert today, Kathy Kingston, and her terrific book, A Higher Bid. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
Kathy Kingston is the founder and principal of Kingston Auction Company, which has raised millions of dollars for organizations nationwide. She's the creator of the philanthropy model of fundraising auctions. On today's show, she is going to be sharing secrets to make your charity auction more successful than ever. More importantly, I want you to know that Kathy has won two major auction industry awards, the 2012 Chuck Cumberland Memorial Sportsmanship Award and the 2006 Rose Award from the National Auctioneers Association. So this is someone who is well-known in multiple domains. More importantly for me, she is here as the guest here on the Nonprofit Coach. Kathy Kingston, welcome.
Well, hi, Ted. Thanks for having me on your show. I really appreciate it.
Kathy, you have written a real gem of a book here, and I absolutely can see after having had a chance to read this book why it was chosen to be part of the AFP Wiley Fund Development Series, which sends a signal not only to my listeners but to everyone in the industry that this is a must read. But Kathy, I'm just going to start off by saying there's so much more to this book than about auctions, and I want to explore that with you today. But did you set out to tell a broader story, or did you set out to just write a book about strategic benefit auctions?
Well, actually, it's about the broader story, and that's really what made me write the book, because so many nonprofits are leaving countless dollars in the room, and I realized that an auction is not an auction. It's not an event. It's an opportunity to deeply engage donors, and that's the real story. It's how to use auctions strategically.
Right. Let them have fun while they're fundraising. But there's a whole psychology behind this that is deeply rooted in very good 101 fundraising practices. But I think part of the point of this book, and I'm just so pleased that you took the time to write this book, is it seems to me that part of the message that you're telling is don't make the master mistake of relegating auctions, which is your expertise, to this sort of closet in the corner called special events that might only be seen in a certain way. But if you really want to be truly successful, view it for what it is, and that is, it's a relationship event. It's a fundraising event that just happens to be having fun at an auction.
Exactly. I appreciate that. And when we chatted a little bit earlier, I was so glad that you brought that up. So let's dive in, Ted.
Yeah, let's dive in. So start off with, I think, maybe the basics, and that is, what is an auction from your description, and what differentiates a benefit auction from perhaps some other auctions? So why don't we start with the real basics around auction, then I really want to get into the meat
of
this book.
Well, I think that's an essential question, because a benefit auction is different than a commercial auction. A commercial auction would be a real estate, antiques, household goods, commercial property, land, livestock. And so there's a whole different strategy and psychology of doing a commercial auction from doing a fundraising auction, a benefit auction, a charity auction, all interchangeable words, in that in a commercial auction, the buyer is motivated. The buyer is there to get the best product that they can at the best price. And in a benefit auction, the buyer, aka the auction guest, donor, is there to support the cause. And what happens, part of that master mistake you're talking about, what happens is if a nonprofit organization takes the same approach as a commercial auction, then you set up a bargain basement mentality and you never really raise money. But if you flip it and you look at it from a philanthropic viewpoint, then it's really not about the items that a person gets. It's about how much they can give. And then all the strategies flow from that.
And in understanding that, it really, in what you delve into, so beautifully in this book is that philanthropist, donor, giver mentality that differentiates this kind of auction, this sort of event, from, as you said, you know, more commercial type auctions. What is that mindset, and how do you maximize the difference once you understand the difference? So I've got the event, it's set up, I've got lots of items that I'm looking to entice people to feel good about, but when they get into the bidding, what do I need to know about the mindset of the people that that are in the room?
Well, I think very simply, it's about the people and how you really focus on what I would call audience development for your benefit auction. Because, you know, and myself, and I'm sure there's a lot of other benefit auctioneers listening across the country, across the world, that we know we could sell an empty wine glass, or I've sold a tangerine for thousands of dollars, because it's not about the item, it's about how to engage the bidder, because it's not about what they're going to get. It's a vehicle to raise money. So in terms of the, I would call that philanthropic mindset, it's actually starts long before auction night in helping your guests understand the real reason. And, you know, I'll have to tell you a little story. You know, I do a lot of consulting, you know, preparing, you know, boards, auction committees, and, you know, sometimes I'll review some of their promotional materials, and I'll look at the Save the Date card, Ted, and it'll say Fall Follies or, you know, Blue Jeans Dinner. And we have no idea what that means. There's no, if I could just be a little bit on the edge here, there's no F word. There's no fundraising word in the promotion. So
yeah.
I like to encourage people to prepare the guest to be generous first and foremost.
Prepare to be generous. Let them know what this is not meant to be sort of a stealth event. To really be successful, you want to gear people up to think about those items, to promote those items ahead of time, to get excited, to even, and this is one of the secrets, isn't it, is to get competition, to get people excited about giving.
Exactly. You know, that's part of, you know, why auctions are a lot of fun, because people get caught up in that bidding fever. But that only happens when you have the right people in the room with the right approach, so they know that their gift is going to make a difference to all the different programs and services that the auction will fund. But long before that, I want to just jump in with another secret, if I could, Ted, and that is the secret that donors and bidders have changed just in the last couple years. What we're finding, especially with some aging demographics and some shifting mindsets about giving, that who really wants a silent or live auction item anymore? Not too many people. So we're seeing smaller silent auctions, much more highly curated auction items, silent and live, so they match the exact profile of the guests. And then there is a whole group of folks who come to auctions that they want to make a difference, but they don't want or need another thing. So we see the emergence now, a huge emergence of what we call the fund a need or to fund the future, a special appeal, a paddle raise. And I would say that is the biggest news in auction fundraising today.
So is this because people have less time? They still want the fun, they still want to be involved, but they don't. I think auctions and events are becoming much more streamlined today than they might have been in the past.
Exactly. And if you use your auction as a donor engagement, a donor cultivation tool, and you help people understand how their dollars can make a difference from the auction and beyond, and then you offer the opportunity to give at a level that's meaningful for you, what we call the fund-a-need, we're seeing that the revenue from the fund-a-need at the auction far is outstripping silent and live auction revenue. And yes,
now,
go ahead, please.
Well, I was just going to say in that moment, and you and I have been involved, you far more than I have, but I've run a lot of auctions, and it is that exact moment that spells the difference between the bargain seeker and the donor. Because when you're in the moment, I think it is first and foremost the bargain seeker who showed up, who is hoping that maybe that tonight's the night I'm going to get that bargain. But they're going to keep bidding, and they're going to bid against each other, and they're going to keep going. And part of that story is I'm supporting a good cause.
Exactly. And what one of the big new trends that I'm seeing, and I think listeners will appreciate this, is that bidding actually starts months prior to your auction. If a savvy auction committee, a board, is really interested in raising more money with a silent and live auction, you must pre-promote those live and silent auction items far ahead of auction night. Because the big difference I've seen as an auctioneer is that very few guests come prepared to bid unless you do that for them. So that if you have a multi-course dinner paired with wine and with a great chef and a great place, that, you know, it's on a certain date, you've got to get your group together. That's hard to do in the 2 minutes, 3 minutes it takes auctioning the item. But if you prepare your guests, if you send the catalog, if you do your social media, if you make personal calls to people who like that kind of item, or maybe they like to buy trips, whatever, then you prepare your guests to be very, very generous.
And in being generous, part of that drive to being generous is the IRS tax deductibility and the rules that follow regarding that. So, Kathy, we're going to take a really quick break. When we come back, I'd like you to make sure that our listeners know what do you need to know as a nonprofit in terms of receding and making sure that the legal compliance of an auction is well in hand. And we're going to be right back with Kathy Kingston. As you heard at the top of the show, the next edition here of the Nonprofit Coach is the very special annual edition live from BBCon. We will be in Austin, Texas with the Nonprofit Coach. That is going to be at 1:45 local central time. Mark your calendar. It's 2:45, so a different time, not the regular 12 noon Eastern time for the Nonprofit Coach. And it's Monday, October 26th, not our regular Tuesday scheduled time. So join us for the next Nonprofit Coach radio show on October 26th, live from BBCon in Austin, Texas.
Have you ever wished you could take back an email you sent to the wrong person? Or have that nagging feeling that your confidential message was forwarded without your consent? Do you sometimes email sensitive data even though you know most email is insecure? And we all have, because we're busy. And because in the world of email, there are no take-backs. Until now. Introducing Virtru, the simple way to send and receive secure email with confidence. Virtru is easy to install and use, and it works with your favorite email programs like Gmail, Outlook, Yahoo, MacMail, and more. When you hit the Send Secure button, your email is encrypted before it leaves your computer or smartphone. And even better, you can revoke a message at any time. You decide whether a message can be forwarded by recipients. You can track where your message is forwarded, and more. Download Virtru today and start sharing with confidence. Because everyone deserves digital privacy and security without hassle.
Remember, our podcasts and archives are always available 24 hours a day at tedhart.com. Click on Radio Links. If you're listening live today, the phone lines are open. Call in and ask a question by dialing 347-324-3080. Now, back to the Nonprofit Coach with Ted Hart.
And we are back here live with Kathy Kingston and her terrific, widely published book, A Higher Bid. This is part of the AFP Fund Development Series. Kathy, what about tax receding? What about the legal compliance for being involved with an auction?
Well, Ted, I'm going to be the very first person to tell you that I'm not a tax expert, nor I'm a legal expert. So I would ask that all the listeners, all the nonprofits, you know, check, you know, with their state and national regulations. We do know that we do like to see the value. I know the IRS does like to see the value of the item somewhere in your description. I know that you have, you're going to be sending out letters that talk about the value of the item and what the item was sold for. And I would get very specific advice from your tax advisor on that.
And just to make sure that all of our listeners know that donors who purchase items at a charity auction can claim a charitable contribution deduction for the excess of the purchase price for an item over its fair market value. And so that's why it's so important, as Kathy just mentioned, that when you're putting your charity auction together, and Kathy's going to tell us a little bit more about how to prepare your donors for success, it's very important that you have, before the auction, shared with those who are attending what is the fair market value. And that is what it would be sold for on the open market, not I'm often asked, and I'm sure you are too, Kathy, that, well, what if the item was donated? There's no cost to us. Well, it's not a matter of what the cost was to the charity. It is the fair market or open market value of that item that when if you only pay the fair market value or you pay less than the fair market value, then there is no charitable contribution. However, as Kathy is sharing with us here, the tips and secrets to get people to bid higher. For example, as Kathy is sharing, a charity is putting together their auction, publishes a catalog given to each person who attends the auction, or as Kathy's book points out, through technology, posting that online with a good faith estimate of each item that is available for bidding, assuming that the donor has no reason to doubt the accuracy of the published estimate, which means you as a charity are you are asked to give that good faith estimate of what the amount is. You as a charity can now give a tax receipt for the amount that was bid, the full amount, and if it is in excess of the value, you have now given your donor a tax receipt and a tax deduction as well. So, Kathy, you were just starting to point out the importance of preparing people for success, getting them in the mood and getting them ready to bid and bid high.
That's right. And it actually goes back to how you focus on getting the right people in the room, the audience development piece. And, it's probably one of the number one questions. Kathy, how can we make sure we have donors that are going to bid high and also be very generous in the fund to need? And a little secret that I'd like to share with your audience is that, you get what you measure. So many groups already have a committee or a team in place for item procurement. I'd like to suggest that you have a separate group that's going to focus completely on audience development. And in my book, A Higher Bid, I have a huge chapter with lots of tips and strategies on audience development. Because when you have guests who understand the impact of their gift, and they may know a little bit about you, but you're going to design your program so they absolutely fall in love with you and want to be generous in your live auction and your fund-a-need, which are your two main revenue sources, that night of fundraising, then you see huge increases in your revenue.
How much of a mistake is it to put all of your best or most popular items at the end of the auction?
How can you say financial suicide any stronger? That's
right.
That's a misconception because, you made a really good point earlier, Ted. You said, guests don't have as much time and they want a streamlined event. We're seeing that all over the country. And so, your guests want to get in, they want to give, and they want to go. Whether it's a Tuesday night or a Saturday night. And so, You know, I have another little funny saying I like to share. It's one of my cardinal rules for fundraising auctions is no BS, no boring speeches. So that if you really change those boring speeches to inspiring remarks that help guests understand the impact of their gift, and you do that right before the live auction, then you can help your guests understand that it's not about getting a photo safari in South Africa or a trip to Sonoma for wine tasting or a wonderful dinner. It's really about changing lives.
Right. And in doing that kind of prep work, staging your auction so that people are comfortable, people know exactly how am I paying, how am I expected to pay, what credit cards are you expecting. And one of the things that I always share with folks is have a couple of good items early on in the auction that you really have every reason to believe people will want so badly that they will overbid, because then the audience is getting in the habit of overbidding. If every
sure.
item early on in the auction is a deal, the group mentality will oftentimes suppress the bidding to get the deal.
Well, I'm going to be so bold to say if you have any items that you even think could be a deal, get them out of your live auction, maybe even get them out of your silent auction, and use them as a door prize for your volunteers, for your thank you luncheon that you do for the auction. Because
that's such a smart move.
Get it out of there, because you have no room anymore as an organization to have any item in your live auction that doesn't have the capacity to have over 100% of bidding. And that would be the expectation as a consultant and auctioneer. I would rather have six amazing items that are going to go through the roof, that are going to get everybody excited, than putting items in that are boring and you know that they're not going to sell. Get them out of there.
Right, because it sends a message to the entire audience that's kind of how the bidding is going to go. And so they don't start setting their own expectations to outbid each other or to bid higher. What about having well-placed people in the room who are willing to make those bids and get the bidding going, but also kind of the life of the party a little bit, willing to have a little bit of fun with the audience?
Sure. That's part of the preparation. If you, for example, you've got a wonderful Tuscan resort, and, you know, I would say, you know, what's the first rule of fundraising, Ted? People give to people. So you can go back as an organization and look at your bidding history. Who likes trips? Who likes to travel internationally? I would advise that organizations make a personal phone call to every single one of those bidders for the last 3 or 4 years, invite them to the auction, and send them information so that when they come, they're already excited. You're already creating that impetus, that excitement, even before the guests walk in.
So let's turn our attention to technology. You mentioned how things have changed in auctions, and one of the brilliant aspects of this book is we've got the psychology, and of course that's changed over time. But how do you leverage new technology? What's out there? What really works, or what's just an annoyance to your audience?
Well, I think one of the big pluses for technology is the advances in the fundraising auction software, and there's a number of wonderful companies that provide really a soup-to-nuts approach, so that if you think of every bazillion detail that happens in an auction, many of these fundraising auction software technology companies have thought of that and actually created software for the entire benefit auction event. Not only check-in and check-out, which is improved with, you know, being able to, you know, to swipe your card ahead of time when you come in, and, you know, a couple other things I'm going to talk in a second, but, you know, all of the organizational things, you know, seating charts, volunteers, sponsorships, bidding forms, thank you letters, every little aspect is already in there. And so if someone is listening and saying, is it worth the investment to have benefit auction software? I would say absolutely yes, because you have the amazing benefits that night, but then you have your record. And you know, Ted, from doing this for such a long time too, the turnover in auction committees and volunteers and staff and guests is immense. And so this way you have a fantastic record. And you were talking earlier about IRS requirements. All those letters with the values and what the fair market value and what the item sold for can be already programmed in. It's in there, and it's easy to send those letters and other follow-up correspondence.
And in sending those letters and preparing for the event, you were saying technology's really improved. Is it about the speed of bidding?
It's not necessarily. We'll talk about the preparation. There's so much preparation that happens to actually conduct an auction. So I see benefit auction software being able to really aid the organization in streamlining that, taking the burnout out of all the staff and volunteer time so they can really focus on, you know, guest development. And so it, in a sense, you know, yes, it can speed up the bidding because you get your guests in faster. The worst thing you can see is a big long line for registration. You've already, there's a one of our software company has a motto, says arrive happy, leave happy. So, you know, now you can get your guests in with no line. They can come in, they can enjoy the hospitality of the event, the silent auction, maybe other revenue activities, and they're already in, they're participating, rather than these big long lines without having the benefit of that. So, in that sense, yes, it does.
So
speed
they can
it up.
Pre-register online. You can have their payment already established.
Yes, there's no, you know, it's now in our show's in 2015. There's really no reason not to have the capability to pre-swipe a guest credit card and make it very simple for them, so that if they are the successful high bidder, or if they make a very generous gift in the fund of need, then all they have to do is go pick up their item. They don't have to stand in a big long checkout line, which really is not the way you want to treat your beloved guests.
And they're going to appreciate the fact that you've thought through all of that, and
yes. It's
and because they're now at, instead of anticipating, well, I don't really want to be the high bidder because then I have to wait in line and I have to check out and I really just want to get home. Mm. What you're doing is preparing them to say, listen, we know you want to get out at the end of the evening. Here's how we're going to make it so simple.
It's expedited, so that's great. The other wonderful thing is. We have a new technology in mobile bidding where guests can use a tablet or a smartphone. And where I see that most beneficial is in the silent auction. And that's really, and I'll say pretty strongly, that's the best place for mobile bidding. So that, you know, just think of, you come into, you know, you've been there a million times. I'm sure listeners are shaking their head too. Yeah, you come into the cocktail hour, it's packed, and you can't see the silent auction items. You can't get to the bidding sheet, and you say, oh, I'm not going to fight my way in. But when you have mobile bidding, you know, guests can actually receive notices on their phone when they've been outbid. They can set it on auto and on max bid, so that if you really like that pair of earrings that you want to get for your, you know, for someone, bang, you can just put in your max bid and the system will automatically bid for you. We're seeing some nice advancements there. I don't see mobile bidding working for live auctions, and there are some groups that do use mobile bidding for the fund a need. But I think that there's some challenges with that I'd like to talk about for just a minute.
Okay.
So, as I mentioned earlier, in the fund a need, the paddle raise, where everyone can make a contribution, 100% tax deductible contribution, at a level that's meaningful for them. You know, the traditional way is to raise your bid card. The auctioneer will call out the bid card at, you know, starting high, going low. Very successful way to engage the guests. The best fund to need, my best clients precede that by a very inspiring, emotional story that underscores where the need is. Now, when you add mobile bidding to a fund to need, what you, you know, and I've seen this countless times, the audience is with the person telling the story, Ted, and then if you say, now, dive into your phone and make a contribution, you've lost all the emotion, all the inspiration, and all the added excitement. So I'd really want the hands
to go up.
Well, you know, as an auctioneer for doing this for such a long time, I have not seen a better way other than a hybrid way where you ask people to raise their bid cards, get the excitement, keep eyes forward, keep the emotion and the energy going, and then when you're done, if you want to use the mobile bidding as a way to gather funds at the end of that inspirational part, that's probably the best way that I've seen it done.
Mm-hmm.
And so we may have some callers or folks that want to comment on that too, but from standing up there, it's the one of the most disheartening thing is someone has told the most transformational story about how an organization has changed their life, and if you only use mobile bidding in that moment, you lose the attention and the emotion of the audience, and they dive right into their phone, and you can never get it back.
Right.
And so,
I do want to make a note. You had just mentioned potential callers. We do have a lot of people on the switchboard as we normally do, but I do just want to remind everybody, if you would like to ask Kathy a question, please press the number one so that raises your hand here on the switchboard. That way I can immediately go to you and not interrupt you, because it's absolutely okay to call in and to just listen to the show live, as many of you are on the switchboard, as many of our guests do each week to listen live. But if you'd like to ask a question, press number one. That will then signal to me that you would like to speak live with Kathy. Sorry to interrupt you, Kathy. Go ahead.
So, Ted, you know I didn't let you know, but I wanted to do something special for the listeners on the call today. I actually have, for anyone who purchases a higher bid or if you have purchases, I'd like to offer a free webinar next week.
Oh, that's wonderful.
A special 90-minute webinar, 60 minutes of super content-rich information, and 30 minutes open mic live Q&A with me. So if you want more information about how you can take your benefit auction to the next level, and so if you permit me, Ted, I'd just like to promote the purchase of the book. It's a great investment. I would say there's millions of dollars of ideas in there, and I'd love to take that further with the listeners if they'd like. And you can just go to my website on the book. It's called ahigherbid.com and purchase the book, and you can put your there's a place to put your receipt in there, and we'll send you the link to this private exclusive webinar with me next week, October 22nd.
That is terrific. So thank you, Kathy, very much for that. Give us that website one more time.
Yes. It's the name of the book, ahigherbid.com. And
terrific.
You can purchase.
So,
yeah.
Now, I do want to just make note, since we have so many people who listen to our show via podcast, that because the webinar will be next week, if you are listening past, I would say what is the actual date of the webinar?
The actual date is Thursday, October 22nd, 2015. It'll be at 1 o'clock Eastern time.
Okay, terrific. So if you're listening to this podcast anytime after October 22nd, 2015, do go to the website, certainly. Buy the book, absolutely. But the webinar offer will have expired. Kathy, we want to make sure that in the time that we have remaining with you today, we've got about 10 minutes left here on the show. What are the hot topics and tips in the book that maybe we haven't spent as much time on? We just don't want to miss anything.
Well, we've talked about it a little bit, but I have to just mention it. It's the number one strategy is do a fund-a-need, a paddle raise. And there's a great chapter on how to do that with some really good case studies that that way, you know, even if somebody doesn't want a silent or live auction item for competitive bidding, you can create a culture of giving with collaborative giving at the fund-a-need. And so I would say that is a number one. Number two, we haven't talked about this, but, and I'll state my bias in this, but if you are considering really taking your auction to the next level, I would invite everyone to consider retaining a professional fundraising auctioneer that has the equivalent of a CFRE. In our organization, the National Auctioneers Association, we have a certification called the Benefit Auctioneer Specialist. And I was actually involved in designing a study a couple years ago, Ted, and we found that auctioneers who have the National Auctioneers Association, BAS, Benefit Auctioneer Specialist Professional Designation, raise twice as much money for their clients as auctioneers who do not. So if you're really looking to raise the level, that would be a way that you could do that as a nonprofit.
Well, I'm sure that one of the reasons that they're so successful is because they've already read your book.
Well, we certainly hope so. Thank you so much. You know, and I did want to mention on my special gift for everyone, if someone who's listening has already bought the book, just send me an email and we'll send you the private link to the webinar. And my email is Kathy@KingstonAuction.com. That's Kathy with a K and a Y, Kathy@KingstonAuction.com.
Well, Kathy, that is a terrific offer, and we really thank you an awful lot for providing that for our listeners. And certainly, I want to encourage everybody to make sure that they do get this book because, as I said at the top of the show, and I've made the case several times here, this is much more than just a how-to-do auctions because it really is about the psychology of donors and bringing them to the table and inspiring them to give even more. One of the tips that you have in your book, and we've talked about auctions as if sort of all auctions are alike, but we've really been focused, I think, in our speaking here, mostly about the live auction and the preparations for the live auction. But what about a silent auction? Can a silent auction be successful by itself? Should it always be in conjunction with a live auction? And what's the difference between the two?
Well, silent auction is typically done during the evening, during the first part of the evening, the cocktail hour. A silent auction, if you're not familiar with it, is when the guests have the opportunity to place their bids sequentially on a bid sheet, or if they're using mobile bidding, and they typically walk around, or they can use their mobile device to do that, and the highest bidder gets the item. Now, I may seem a little sacrilegious when I say this, but I'm seeing too many people spend too much time and too much energy on silent auctions, which do not raise the most amount of money. So silent auctions can be successful, but I would be very strategic. Just because you get a donation for a car wash and a nail salon, which are kind of low-end items, doesn't mean you have to put them in the silent auction. So
right,
I would
as you
say
said, don't treat all items donated as if they had equal
right.
value to an
you
auction.
Know,
some are going to produce more than others.
Yeah, I would even go out on a limb and say, focus on what matters. And if donor cultivation matters to you, if raising more money matters to you, don't pay a lot of attention to your silent auction. Focus on things that are going to engage your donors and raise more money, and that's the live auction and fund a need. And so if you extrapolate this example a little bit, I see too many auction volunteers and board members focusing on little tiny silent auction items and displaying it and hauling it and curating it and all that business. It doesn't make that much money in relation to things that matter. What if you took all that energy that people focused on silent auction and you refocused it on donor engagement?
Terrific.
That would make
Kathy,
a huge
difference. We do have a caller. Caller, you're live here on the Nonprofit Coach. You have a question for Kathy Kingston?
I do. I just wanted to know, with the new credit card chip, what effect that's having in terms of payment that night. Do we need special machines? Where do we get more information? And is there a place to turn for more information on the mobile bidding as well?
Absolutely.
I do not have the technical answer on the chip, but I know that all of the benefit auction software companies do have that. And if you Google benefit auction fundraising software or mobile bidding for auctions, you're going to get a number of really wonderful professional organizations that will be your partner, not just for providing technology, but the folks that I find that are really engaged with benefit auctions that provide this technology really care about nonprofits. And I think that would be, they would have those very technical answers for you.
Excellent, excellent question.
And if you email
Kathy,
me, I can provide some more information on that if you'd like to.
Terrific. The caller, you know, brought us back to sort of technical issues. I'm wondering if you can tell us how has sites like eBay and Bidding for Good and other sites of that sort that have sort of brought auctions to a wider audience of people, how much of an effect has that had on charity auctions?
Well, I think, I'll take two parts to that. One is, you know, with the advent of eBay and the success of eBay, it's made the word auction a household name and made folks very comfortable with auction methodology, specifically, you know, in this case, online auctions. Bidding for Good is an outstanding company that provides excellent online auction services, you know, from soup to nuts. And so I think with, you know, eBay, Bidding for Good, and many other excellent technology companies, it's really helped advance charity auctions. But I'm going to...
What about online auctions as part of this overall approach? Is that a way to build towards a higher bid?
Well, I find that online auctions can be very successful, but there's a hidden cost in online auctions. Just because you have an item doesn't mean they'll come. So let's take an example. Let's say your great aunt is a Hummel collector, you know, and she is looking every day on eBay to find that last Hummel for her collection. She is driven. She is motivated. She wants to find it. That's a commercial mentality. I have not seen that level of motivation for a charity auction online buyer. So you, as a nonprofit, must create a campaign, a very strategic marketing campaign to drive your potential buyers over and over again. But I don't
but
ever
a way
see that
to,
level of motivation. Yeah.
It could be a way to get people excited about the events, to preview the events, even get some pre-bids so that you walk in with, you know, the bid starting at a higher level and then tie that into a live auction. Kathy, I'm watching the clock. This is an excellent book. Psychology of Giving is embedded in your successful tips. We've got 1 minute left. How can my listeners reach Kathy Kingston?
Well, first of all, thank you, Ted, so much. You can reach me by email, Kathy, K-A-T-H-Y, at Kingston Auction, K-I-N-G-S-T-O-N, auction.com. And I wanted to mention that we have a free webinar for anyone who buys the book today, and that also includes $600 of special reports and gifts that aren't in the book. So all you need to do is go to my book website, which is ahigherbid.com, and you'll see how to do that, and we'll sign up, and we'll send you the link to the webinar and the one-on-one live Q&A with me.
A Higher Bid, How to Transform Special Event Fundraising with Strategic Benefit Auctions. Kathy Kingston, a true expert here on The Nonprofit Coach. Thank you for sharing us all your insight right at the right time as we're coming into holidays. What better time to have a very successful auction, silent auction, live auction for your charity. Kathy, thank you for being my guest here on The Nonprofit Coach.
Ted, thank you so much and appreciate all you do for nonprofits all over the world. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to the Nonprofit Coach Radio Show with Ted Hart. Tell all your friends to check out our production schedule and download our iPod and iPad-friendly podcasts at tedhart.com. Thanks for listening to the Nonprofit Coach.